Housing experts are calling on federal and state governments to make real commitments to increase social housing supply to tackle the national housing crisis. The federal government established the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund in 2023 to provide at least $500 million for social and affordable housing projects every year. But Professor Alan Morris from the University of Technology Sydney says this isn't going far enough to get low-income Australians into secure housing. Political reporter Noah Sacombe spoke with Professor Morris about why social housing is so important to address the broader housing crisis.
We're always talking about how hard it is to own a home. Is 100% home ownership the actual end goal when we're talking about fixing housing?
No, not necessarily. I mean, in many countries, private renting is quite common and is accepted. It's not stigmatized at all. And a lot of people are lifelong private renters, you know, countries like Switzerland, Germany to some extent. And of course, in many countries, social housing plays a very major role. Countries like Austria, for example, Singapore has this massive social housing sector. So home ownership is not necessarily the end point. I mean, obviously, in a country like Australia, I mean, if you're a homeowner, it is advantageous. And I mean, what it does do, obviously, it gives you an asset, which unfortunately is appreciating all the time. And that's good for you if you're a homeowner, but it obviously is not very good if you're not a homeowner. It enables people to, once they retire, if they are homeowners, they have low housing costs, which enables them to live on comfortably on the age pension. Well, you know, frugal but comfortable. They can sell their home, they can leave it to their children, etc. So certainly home ownership does have advantages, but it's 100% home ownership is not necessarily essential. Within the ranks of the homeowners, you have people with more than one home, you know, investors, holiday homes. In the last census, you had over 1 million homes, around about 10% of all private dwellings were unoccupied, which is quite remarkable. So we're not exactly sure what was going on there, but it is a puzzle.
Does that mean that the issue is purely a supply problem?
No, definitely not. You know, there have been periods where prices have dropped, where there's been plenty of supply and there hasn't been all that much building, etc. So one has to look at the whole housing sector holistically. I mean, obviously supply is important. If there's a drastic shortage of housing, then there's a problem. But I don't think there's a drastic shortage. Airbnb, for example, takes up a lot of dwellings which could be on the market. The bigger issue in Australia is the whole financialization of housing. I mean, what has happened in Australia over the last three decades is that housing's become this very, very important sector for investment. 20% of Australian taxpayers, over 20%, own an investment property. And that is certainly driving up prices. There's no doubt about it. You talk to any person trying to enter the market, they go to an auction and they're outbid by an investor. That is a massive issue.
What is the importance of having affordable and social housing in the mix in places close to jobs?
It's essential. If you want to talk about a just city is a city which has affordable housing, which has social mix, which isn't totally fragmented. You know, what we have is a situation now where we have enormous intensification of spatial divide, basically, based on class and income. If you're low income, the only way you can enter the housing market, if you want to enter the housing market, is to live far away from employment. And even to rent, you have to rent far away. This is creating enormous problems. You know, it's putting a lot of pressure on many households. I think even something like domestic violence, I mean, it's very difficult to have any direct correlation, but I wouldn't be surprised that a lot of the stress. Domestic violence seems to be a bit of an epidemic. I mean, it seems to be becoming very pervasive, but I think it's a lot of it is due to this financial stress, people having to travel vast distances. You know, it's like the home becomes the only area where it's like a male can control, you know. Maybe that's drawing a long bow, but I do feel that this whole housing crisis is having a range of unintended consequences. So what social and affordable housing does, if it's decent social housing, affordable housing, and well located, it gives people the opportunity to, in a sense, not worry persistently about housing costs. I mean, the other very important impact of this housing crisis is, I think, mental health. It's had an enormous impact on people's mental health, a lot of anxiety. I have interviewed a lot of private renters, low-income private renters, and there's persistent anxiety. You know, they are constantly worried about what will happen tomorrow. Will the rent be put up? You know, will the landlord say they're selling the property, etc.? You know, I've interviewed older private renters on the age pension who said to me, well, what's the point of going on? Their lives are so hard. Whereas their counterparts in social housing, you know, older people who've retired on the age pension, they're able to live a decent life. They're able to, you know, because the rent is predictable, as long as they don't smoke too much, drink too much, or gamble too much, they're able to save, they're able to go on holiday, they're able to eat adequately. The age pension is reasonable if your housing costs are low. So I think housing is really the elephant in the room. If we can bolster the proportion of housing, which is social housing and affordable housing, I think society will be really improved overall. You know, it will have a lot of positive spin-offs.
And you can catch more of the interview with Professor Morris and others talking about the housing crisis in the next episode of From Pillar to Post tomorrow.